And I just want to say this because sometimes we could find ourselves to be discouraged based upon circumstances in life. And it's so easy for us to be discouraged. It's so easy for us to lose hope and lose sight of what's ahead, of what's promised, the love of God, and everything else in between. I don't want to spend too much time talking about my time off because it's not what we're going to be talking about today, but I just want to elaborate on the heels of things that recently came to mind. And it somewhat ties a little bit into what we're going to talk about this morning, which is a continuation of our day-to-day Christianity, our day-to-day walk, which is where I left off Tuesday morning ago. Nothing is coincidental. And daily living as a Christian is a must. It's a must because when we fall out of the will of God, out of His ways, that's when we're hit with surprises. That's when we're blindsided by different things. I want to share one small story with you. This entire time that I've been in northern Florida, we went to Orlando, for those of you who might not know, for a week. Our entire stay was 100% free. I didn't have to pay for lodging at all. And a lot of it of that is attributed that I have a sister-in-law that lives in Orlando. And she recently moved there in the beginning of the winter, this winter now. And how the Lord does things. She's living with a young lady who's from Ukraine. Lovely, lovely person. Great, humble, God-fearing person. And she recently just bought a massive house. A beautiful, stunning architect. Beautiful house. Many bedrooms, large size bedrooms. And it's just her living there. And now, my sister-in-law. And this young lady had her younger sister and brother-in-law, who are married, living with them for a little bit over a year, along with other people. So the house was not exactly full, but it was occupied. And they just moved out a week before we got there. And I had no idea about this till we actually got there. And I think about this, and I'm like, wow, Lord, thank you so much. And these people were so happy to host us, among so many other things. But the point that I'm trying to make is nothing is coincidental. Absolutely nothing. Whether it be the good or the bad. And true Christianity is practiced day by day. And it's crucial that we know who we are in Christ, who we are in Him. And to pick up where I left off, my opening verse from what I was elaborating on two Tuesdays ago came from Luke chapter 9, 23. Do you have that, Dion? Should be the first one on the list. Luke 9, 23. There it is. Thank you. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, capital M, the Lord is speaking now, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This opening verse was something that meant a lot to me and kind of opened up my mind and my way of thinking when I started this study 2 Tuesdays ago. We all heard the terminology picking up your cross and following Jesus, yes? Deny yourself. Put your pride to the side. Put your agenda to the side. And give him priority. But the one thing that is often left out is the word to follow, which is daily. Daily. This is one thing that we often overlook when referring to this one verse. Every single day, we have to check in. Check in with our God. I love you, Lord. Good morning. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your renewed blessings that renew on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Daily, we renew our commitment to him. Every single day. And I'm going to elaborate in a little bit more depth as this goes on this morning. But every single day, we must renew our commitment with God. And it ties with something else in the Old Testament. Each day, we consciously reaffirm our decision to come and follow him who saved us. We should not only do this on Sunday, but every single day, not just once a week. This is not only done in the past, but every single day. And each day we offer our sacrifice anew to God. Every single day. In the Old Testament, our sacrifice was an animal. It was grain. It was oil. Something precious to you. Something of value to you. How about in today's day and age? The Lord died on the cross for us. So we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. I venture to say, I could be wrong, but I venture to say that most of us do not have animals in our backyards. That's just a wild guess. I could be wrong. Where I just came from, we drove a lot, we did a lot of sightseeing, and we seen some cows and grazing, and we seen some animals. You know, I just on Sunday night, I heard a couple mules, donkeys, right in the back of the pastor's house. So I venture to say most of us might not have animals, so we don't have to sacrifice anything. But what can you sacrifice to the Lord on a daily basis? Only you know. But let me make one suggestion. Just think about this. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I'm just going to remind you. And I've said this part also many times, or a few times, I should say. What is the most precious thing that you and I have? Our time. You remember, our time is the most precious thing that we have. You know, right now, it's gone. That little tap that I just did is here right now, and it's gone 5 seconds ago. I can't get it back. Our time right now is our most precious thing that we have. And why don't we dedicate our most precious thing to our God? A sacrifice. Can you sacrifice 5 minutes of your time and dedicate it to God? As part of your daily renewance, you know, as far as the daily commitment, the renewal, I should say, between you and your God. Sometimes it does take a commitment. Some of us might have an extra busy schedule. We wake up in the morning running. We fall out of bed just pew. Most of the times that's how I am. I sleep till I can't sleep anymore. About 6 months ago, I bought a bed, and I love my bed. And I really loved my bed last night when I got home from my trip. I really loved my bed. I said, this is it. Oh, I miss my bed. I miss my pillow. Yes. So oftentimes I take advantage of that, and I stay there as long as I can. I'm confessing some things right now. Then I hop in the shower, get ready, shave if I'm shaving that day, and boom, off to work I go. Take my breakfast with me. I don't even have time to eat breakfast. So I got to go. You know, taking 5 minutes, to me, sometimes it's a sacrifice. It's a discipline. I got to get up earlier. I got to sacrifice my sleep, my rest. Start with your time. And the Lord was going to show you whatever else, depending to your heart's desire. Amen? Each day we offer our sacrifice anew to our God. And we do not know if today is the day that the Lord may come. We have no idea. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be this evening. It could be tomorrow morning. We don't know. It could be sometime this year. It could be 50 years from now. We have no idea. But every single day, we renew our commitment with God. Because for one, we don't know when He's coming. We don't. We must fill our lamp, as instructed in the New Testament. Amen? No one knows when the Lord is coming. And since each day is potentially the day of judgment, each day is the setting in which we show the Lord the reality of our repentance, the reality of our commitment to our God, being as though we don't know. And I will say one thing, and remember this is a reminder. Words are not enough. Words are just simply not enough for God. We must bring forth fruits of repentance, as the Word of God says. And it says it in Luke chapter 3, and it's going to be from verses 7 through 9. Do you have that, Brother Dion? Luke 3, 7 through 9. Thank you, sir. Then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." You see that? He's talking to some Pharisees here. Bear fruit of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, "We are Abraham as our father." I'm sorry. "We have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Ultimately, what I'm trying to say this morning is this. Simple words are not enough. We must bear fruit if we are connected to the vine. If we are connected with our Lord, we will naturally bear fruit. It's impossible not to. If not, if I may politely say, you could be spiritually dead. A plant that is dead does not bear fruit, does it? And the Bible says that He is the vine and we are the branches, right? And we bear fruit in Him. And now we must produce these fruits, or else the axe is going to drop. We're going to be chopped off. Amen? So simple words are not enough. And let me just remind you of another thing. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So we must be ready. Daily. Amen? Now, speaking of daily prayer, I like to talk about daily prayer. Daily time that you sacrifice from your TV show, from your bedtime, from whatever it might be. With the daily sacrifice, automatically, automatically comes daily prayer. It comes automatically. Prayer time. Yet the time that you speak with your God. And just some examples for your consideration. Our Lord Jesus Christ. How much time did he spend in prayer? Early morning, bright and early, he set himself aside. 40 days of fast, straight, you know, speaking to God, being filled by the Spirit. I like to use an example here in Mark chapter 1, 35. Do we have the scripture list? Were you able to find it, Dion? Yes? Okay, thank you. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. That's sacrifice. If I really must, if I have to, I might be able to get up a long while before daylight, but believe me, it's tough. I might have to fall off the bed because I might not be able to get up with my own two feet. But the Bible here says, having risen a long while before daylight, this could be 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30. It could be 4 o'clock in the morning. It could be a couple hours before sunup. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed, taking advantage of all the time that he had. He said, I got to get up early. That night, I don't know, but he probably went to bed early because he knew he was going to get up early in the morning. I need my strength. He probably went to bed at sundown or just after sundown. Sundown came, ate his dinner, belly full, let me go to sleep to get up early. That could be considered a sacrifice too. Amen? Our Lord Jesus Christ is a prime example of sacrificing your time and giving to the Lord in daily prayer. Another example that I've used in the past is Daniel 6:10, going now to the Old Testament saints. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day after receiving bad news, terrible news, that potentially his life is, he's done. He's finished because he's not going to oblige to the new decree. 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was custom since early days. This is nothing new for Daniel, the man of God, a man that the Lord has given an immense amount of wisdom. Daniel was a smart, smart, smart man. He was the smartest dude out of the entire group of men. Him and his three posses, compadres. His 3 friends, all God-fearing men. And since the very beginning, it was customary for him to 3 times a day bow before his God and worship. Since the very beginning, it was nothing new to him. The Bible here doesn't say he was hit with conflict. He knew he was about to die, so he went on a fast. Or he went asking for prayer. No. He gave the Lord thanks. And it was something that he did since the early days. You see that? Daily renewal with our God. His daily sacrifice to his God is stamped right there in Daniel chapter 6. One more verse I want to share with you in the Old Testament. Psalms 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He shall hear your voice when you take time to spend time with God. Amen? The Lord honors your commitment. The Lord honors your sacrifice. It is not done in vain. And now, moving on to the New Testament. The examples of the apostles as found in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The ministry of the Word of God. And I want to share something with you now that the Lord said to me in the morning time, two Tuesdays ago, as I'm buttoning this up, make sure I got my scripture list right in proper order. The Lord mentioned to me, the people are going to be discouraged. And they're going to be discouraged because they think that this is too hard, that this is impossible. And I'm here to let you know, please don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You know, it's when we spend time with God, oftentimes when we come to the presence of God, we want something. We're always asking, Lord, give me this, give me that, deliver me from this, deliver me from that. Do this for me, Lord. But how many times do you just come and give the Lord thanks? How many times do you come and approach God and just worship? Because what exactly are you doing? You are acknowledging that God is in 100% full control of your destiny when you just come and worship. The Lord knows your future. The Lord knows what lies ahead of you. He knows your beginning and he knows your end. Why should we worry? So that when you come, you just lay it on the altar and you just worship your God, you are indirectly saying, Lord, you are 100% in control. Daniel pretty much knew that, hey, maybe my time is done. Because I'm not going to worship a false idol. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to oblige to the laws of the land, to the new decree, because it goes against my love for God. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to go home and do what I always do. Bow down towards Jerusalem, towards the holy city, and worship. And give thanks is what the Bible says. It doesn't say, Daniel pleaded for his life, pleaded for the king to change his mind. He prayed for deliverance. It doesn't say that. It says he gave thanks. Amen? Amen. So, please don't be discouraged. This is not something that is impossible for you to do. And when you do, and you want to know something? When you do it with a whole heart, the Lord will open the door. He'll open the door. You know what happens to me? I naturally wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can't go back to sleep. I got to get up. It's time. I can't sleep anymore. So then I'll go, and my body is already adjusted to that. It has that internal time clock, that clock, I should say. And I'll just pray about whatever comes to mind, whatever the Lord puts in my mind to pray for. And I intercede and I pray. And most oftentimes, that usually goes for about 10, 15 minutes. And then, poof, I just fall asleep. And I sleep good. I sleep real sweet. Oftentimes, that sleep is better than the first. The second leg is better than the first leg. You know, the second wind is better than the first wind. you know, the Lord opened ways. He'll give you the opportunity to worship Him. It's all right there. You just have to want. You can't do it with fear. Do it with love. Amen? A commitment. And speaking of which, each day calls forth praise to our God. Praise to Him. No matter what your circumstance might be, every single day calls for praise and worship that comes from only one place, and that is your heart, when you do it 100%. Can I please have Psalms 145:2? Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever, forever. I'm going to share something with you right now because I think it's appropriate for me to share this small little tidbit of information. It might be a little bit sidetracked, but maybe not really because of what we just finished reading. This verse right here says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name. And then it finishes off by forever and ever, right? The words of King David, forever and ever. That's somewhat deep. You know why? It has been mentioned already, and I cannot prove it. It doesn't say in the Bible. You know, I just have to, how did they say that? Take it with a grain of salt. But that's usually referring to bad things, I guess. But nonetheless, it is said that in heaven, it's not just two people that are walking around with crowns. It's three. And the third person is King David. It has been witnessed and mentioned by reputable people that King David is the only other person in heaven that walks around with a crown. The man after God's own heart. The Lord loved him so much. If you read the Bible, on the airplane here, I was thinking, going over some things, I was watching a documentary. I was looking over the window, and I see all of this, and I think of King David, and some of the things that he writes in his Psalms, when he says, I can go to the highest heavens, and there you are, and you are there. And I can go to the depths of the sea, and you are there. He even says, I can go to Hades, and you are there. Where can I hide from you, Lord? Your eyes see everything, right? He talks about the stars and the galaxies and everything else out there. How did he know all of that? Because he didn't have a telescope. They didn't have telescopes back then. You know, he didn't have the internet. Much less electricity, I don't think. You know, the Lord gave him a tour. This is how tight David and the Lord was. Doesn't the word say that if you seek me, I will reveal things to you that you had never imagined, unforeseen, untold things? These are untold things to David. The galaxies, the stars. Who's to say that David didn't take a tour in places in the ocean that no man has explored yet? They say it's a ridiculous number. What, 80% of the ocean is unexplored? 80, 85, something like that. Some high number of our ocean has never been explored. Impossible. Pardon me. Siri's talking to me for some reason. So David got to see things that we never have. There's countless stories of people taking a tour of hell. And they come back and say and share what they've seen. David speaks about that. David speaks about heaven. So, how coincidental here it says, every day I will praise you and I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Meaning, beyond this life. Beyond what our walk right now in this earth is, I will continue to praise you. The man after God's own heart. And a lot of people say that he was a redhead. I hear that all the time. That King David was a redhead. And that he still wears his crown in heaven because the Lord allowed him to. And when you come and try to bow and all of that, he'll strictly forbid you. Don't bow before me. Just call me David. You know, you bow before God. These are the stories that some men have already shared. You know, the man after God's own heart. All because he loved God. He praised God on a daily, daily basis. Therefore, praise him. Do you see the importance of spending time with him every single day? Amen? Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the Bible says. And with whom 1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years. Who made the day? And another perfectly good reason why, perfectly good reason why we should praise him on a daily basis, is that he loads us with benefits on a daily basis. He does. It's mentioned in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Every single day you are blessed. Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing at all. Through the struggles, through the ups and downs, through the misfortunes, like some people like to say, the Lord is in control. There is a way that he will receive glory in your circumstance, just as he did when David was on a bind. Every single day there are benefits that's renewed to us. Loads us. We're loaded with benefits on a daily basis. And we should not receive the day then, brothers and sisters, without prayer, without giving him thanks, without spending time with him. Now, there's nothing wrong with you asking God for things. There's nothing wrong with that. I made a brief mention earlier that oftentimes when we come to God, it's always asking, asking, asking. But there's nothing wrong with it, per se. And asking for his blessings, for him to bless our labor, our work, our toil that he has blessed us with to begin with. Did you know that work is a blessing from God? It's 100% blessing from the Lord. And we must enjoy our work, enjoy what we do. Psalms 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Like totally in vain. If the Lord is not blessing the fruit of your labor, if the Lord is not blessing your toil, why? It's totally in vain. 100% if the Lord is not behind it. Ask him for his strength. Ask him for his protection. And ask him for his help. And he will help you. Would we dare launch ahead into it without the Lord our God? Do you truly feel that strong, that confident in yourself when we don't put God first? I wouldn't. Can I please have John 15:5? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Without our God. And wouldn't it be a great thing knowing that the Lord is on our side? Isn't that a great confident booster? And just knowing that the Lord has our back in every single thing. But also, most importantly, we should ask the Lord for his forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. Not just for our needs, but forgiveness for our trespasses. Amen? Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When our time on earth is short, I am sure that most people would wish they had spent more time in prayer. I've heard it before. People on their deathbed wishing they would have spent more time with God. So let's take the opportunity now to spend more time with Him, to devote more time to Him. Now, I want to talk about one thing. Speaking of toil and speaking of work, I want to talk about daily bread. Our daily bread. The body requires daily bread to be renewed so that it could be functional, yes? The Bible speaks here and there of the minimal daily portion of food that is required by us in order for us to function, in order for us to be able to be mobile, you know, in order for us to work. The people in the Old Testament were told to gather manna, right? But only for a daily portion. Only for a daily portion. This ties into my opening here this morning. The Spirit that's inside of you, inside of me, needs the same thing. You cannot renew your spirit today and expect for it to last you for the rest of the week. You come to a conference, you come to a tent meeting, and you come to see a special speaker, and then you expect that the blessing that you receive from God in that meeting is good enough to last me the whole week. Does not work that way. Just as the people of Israel were instructed to collect manna only for one day, and you're going to get new manna tomorrow, the exact same thing is for your spirit. On a daily basis, you must renew yourself with God. On a daily basis. Can I please have 2 Corinthians 4:16? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day by day. I'm not going to come here on a Tuesday morning, hear fire and brimstone preaching from Pastor Teddy, and that's going to last me till Sunday. Not going to work. It's not going to work. Because tomorrow you're going to be starving. You know, you can leave this place here today and go have lunch. And that lunch is not going to last you till Sunday morning. That's a pretty intense fast if you ask me. Yes? So, we must renew our inward man every single day. Just like the manna that God had provided for the Israelite people for one day. And that's it. Today is not good for tomorrow. Tomorrow has to be freshly baked. Fresh. Fresh. Amen? We must be spiritually nourished on a daily basis. God provides daily manna for such if we will but gather it. That's all. He provides it, folks. It's not impossible. Don't be discouraged. He will provide your spiritual manna. But you have to get up. You have to go outside and gather it. In other words, you have to do your part. You have to do your part. We are in need of daily edification from the world. Can I please have 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Putting aside every bad thing is part of daily renewal to our God. We edify ourselves in the Word of God. We edify ourselves in time spent with God through prayer, but also being watchful what sometimes the flesh pulls us to do. And now here's a very popular verse that ties into all of this. Psalms chapter 1, 1 Psalms verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Spiritual bread comes to us every single day. Every single day. It is all in how we perceive such things we usually might take for granted. Sleep and wakening reminds us of the grace of conversion, of revival, of renewal and resurrection. Just as in Ephesians 5 says, awake sleeper, rise from the dead. Ephesians 5:14, please. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. Breaking of day reminds us of the breaking of eternity, and that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Light of day reminds us that God is light, that we cannot hide from his light, and that we must walk as in the day, as children of light. Amen? If you are in connection with God, you are children of light. People will see you. You will shine. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And now, close of day reminds us that God, too, draw our lives to a conclusion and will also bring all history to a close. And now, unto our daily work. We are servants. We are servants of the Most High God, with assignments to do, with work to be done. We're like farmers who, when they rise, see their work that is laid out before them, work that can only be accomplished in the day. It's not too often that I see farmers farming at night. Not often at all. And did you know that us, workers of God, servants of God, have no day off? We're always connected. Don't think that because I took a week off vacation that I wasn't doing God's work. I couldn't stay away. It started on Monday. We arrived there Sunday night. Already Monday, we were in church Monday night. The whole week was a week of fast. But I told the pastor, Pastor Christian Hedgard. I can't fast this week, brother. I need my energy. I'm going to put a lot of steps in. So like our week of fasting in sackcloth, they did it this past week. But they had service every single night. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they had service. And they broke their fast on Saturday. Imagine. Brought back old memories from back in the Suriname days when we had something going on. Every single night was service for an event. It could be something like this, you know, a week of fast, a week of consecration, dedicating the year to God. This is sacrifice. This is commitment. And I heard of a lot of people who did not eat anything the whole week. Oftentimes when we fast, we fast the whole day and then we break fast in the evening and have our evening dinner. There were a handful of people that didn't eat anything the whole week. One of them was my sister-in-law, who I was staying with there at the house. The whole week, all she had was water. Sacrifice. Commitment. You know, it's not easy. It's not for everyone. And I'm not saying this is the right way of doing it. So please don't take me the wrong way. Okay? I'm not saying that when you fast, I wouldn't be able to make it 40 days. I probably have to condition myself first before I could do that. But there's never a day off. We're always plugged in. And as servants, we consider the wages that we might have at the close of the day, what we did for our God. Romans 6:23. Further down the list, Dion, please. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is a harvest to gather. And when can one take a vacation from being a Christian? Is the question that I ask. We can't. Never. We could never take a vacation from being a Christian. And generally, there is very possible good work that presents itself. And I'm just going to list a few of them. I'm not going to put the scripture up, but if in case you want to write it down, you're more than welcome to. Good works such as, we must do good to all men, as instructed in the book of Galatians. Galatians 6:10 instructs us that we must do good works to everyone. Oftentimes we know somebody is a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman of how nice they are to you, how courteous, how much they went the extra mile to accommodate you. They have the humble spirit, the servant spirit, doing good to all men, found in Galatians 6:10. Also, work according to God's will, found in James 4:13, 13 through 17 to be more exact. Another one is helping the needy, James 2:15. Edifying the saints, something that I talk about often. So much that we can do, and as a matter of fact, should do. So much that we should do in the kingdom of God. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion by saying this. Each day brings its trials. Each day brings its troubles and brings evil. Some days we are reminded of our blessings. Each day we must realize that His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for thee, as oftentimes quoted. We must be reminded of that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstance is, it is not by coincidence. God will supply for all of our needs. As mentioned in Philippians 4:19, He will supply for you. This, as with all the rest, must be encountered and borne one day at a time, every single day. It won't trickle on and trickle on and trickle on. We're not talking about anointing. Okay, we're talking about daily renewal between you and your God, between you and your Master. May God help us to follow the Lord Jesus every single day, day by day. Day by day, Christianity. There's no vacations, folks. No vacation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. May the Lord bless His word. God bless you.